Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree with Prophet Selene Dupree, and we thank God for you
tonight as we're here together on one accord to bring forth the word of God together. Amen. And we thank the Lord for what he's about to do and as he's about to speak in this hour to us. We welcome you to the service of tonight. So let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you and give you praise, power, and honor, and glory. We thank you for who you are and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, we come ready, become excited about you, Jesus. We come ready, looking in with expectation. Lord God, for you to move in the way you desire to move tonight. Thank you for blessing the hearers on tonight, Lord God, that they will receive exactly what you have them to receive tonight in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for your presence, your power, your anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you for displaying your presence and your glory in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for setting us apart for the master's use in Jesus' name. We thank you right now, Lord God, for the word tonight. In advance, Lord God, as we receive, Lord God, that from you, we thank you as we're about to release now. Bless, Lord God, your people tonight as you receive, Lord God, your word. Use us in a mighty and awesome way, Lord God, that we should do things fitting in your sight in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we should walk in compliance with your word in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you right now in the manifestation of your presence and your power like never before in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. And Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Lord, use us for your glory as we speak your word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for your purpose and your plan shall be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For your son, Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 So we praise the Lord tonight. We welcome each and every one of you once again. And we thank God for what he's about to do. And we'll get ready to the word of God in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, also for touching every heart, Lord God, that everything that they need in this hour shall be received. Lord God, we thank you for you meeting them there. That no one left unattended, Lord God, but you know your word, how to find each and every person. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Tonight we're going to ask you to turn with us to we're going to start with one verse of scripture, two verses of scripture. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. And we're going to look at those two verses. First Peter, chapter 2, and 9, and 2 Corinthians 5, 17. All right, amen. Let's get ready to get into word, amen. I'm sorry, I'll just say it. Okay. Okay, all right. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Now let me go to verse, one more verse down. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So, amen. Tonight, we're going to talk from the topic of don't call me common. Don't call me common. It was a spirit for something from earlier that the Lord had given to us in the first service. But don't call me common. And then that word common, amen, we have to understand that the Lord really is speaking to us tonight, because a lot of times we get real, you know, we allow something to be common, and we get common with the world to where we be acting like them and doing what they do. And God is not calling us to be like the world. He said the word common means to belong to or shared by two or more people or groups. You know, being like them, doing what they do, speaking as they speak, have their ways. That we're not called to be common. Done by many people. Something that's common. Something that's common is like a fad. Everybody doing it, so we say we just do it too. Occurring or appearing frequently, not rare. It's the common. It's the same thing to do. Go to church every Sunday. Go to church and leave church. Go one way, come back the same way. But to be common is to do the same old thing week after week. It's a tradition. It's like there's nothing, no excitement about it, no nothing new, nothing fresh. But God has called us to be uncommon. You don't want us to be fit into their box, the world's box, and be conformed to their ways. Amen. But He's called us to be different. He's called us to stand out. That, so, amen. Just like how He said peculiar. You know, when to be peculiar. You know, it definitely is something that is definitely different. It's not like everyone else. Peculiar means to, not usual, nor normal. Amen. Not usual or normal. Amen. So when we see, we understand that. So once again, looking at common. Common means to. To be belonging to or share two or more people, or share as a group, do like everyone else is doing, or done by many people, something that's not no surprise to it, or appearing frequently, not rare. Just a copy. Just copy something everyone else is doing. It's like a duplication. Amen.
Praise God. When you talk about people being peculiar, it is not of when you hear that word being peculiar, it doesn't always sound inviting. And the reason why it doesn't sound inviting is because it makes you as an individual stand out, not necessarily in a fun way. At least that's not what we normally think. When you hear that you are, Apostle Marcus read the definition of being unusual or different from the norm. Most people do not want to fit in that category of being different from the norm, because you stand out, because everyone is looking at you, because there is a focus on what you're doing or what you're saying, and everyone doesn't want to be in that realm of being looked at. Because when you're in a position where everyone is watching you and seeing what you're doing, you're also in a position of being judged. Because now you're in a place where people can voice their opinion about whatever you're doing or saying, whether they like it, whether they don't, whether they think you're right, or whether they think you're wrong. And so when you think of peculiarity, a lot of people don't want to stand out in that way. But that's just how God has called us. He's called us to be that special, particular type people. I can imagine Jesus growing up as a kid, how much he probably stood out. Because we sometimes forget, we think about Jesus as a man that has a ministry. But he had to grow up, and he had to go through his adolescent stage. He had to be a preteen. He had to be a teenager. He had to be among kids his age. He had to go to school with these children. And so I can imagine him just being a bit different than the other children. I can imagine him being, maybe teased, maybe looked at funny, because he spoke different. He spoke more mature than a lot of the other children probably. And so his His being, him being peculiar was for a reason. It was for a purpose. And the people that he laid hands on and healed, some of them may have even went to school with him. And later on, they realized why he was the way he was and how he was as a child didn't matter anymore. And so there is a place that God has called you to, a peculiar people. And it's not going to matter in the long scheme of things when God gets you to that place that he ultimately wants you to be in ministry. It's not going to matter that you were so different than everyone else, that you spoke a little different, that you didn't do the same things that everybody else did, that you stood out from the crowd in a different way because God has created you to be that. And so sometimes we don't understand why our personality is the way it is. It seems like we're alone sometimes. We don't have a crowd of friends. We get a good friend, and then it seems like that falls apart. And it's all a part of how God has made you and created you to be for a reason. And sometimes he calls us to be what I would say a loner. Sometimes that's just what God has called you to stand out as a loner because of what he has in store for you. And everyone's not going to be able to go with you. And he wants your whole trust and your reliability to be on him and not on the people that are around you. And so us not understanding some of why our personality is the way it is or why we are the way it is of God calling us to be a peculiar people. And regardless of how peculiar you are, God has blessed you. He has called you to be that way. And although you may stand out in a funny way sometimes to men, in God's eyes, you're exactly what he desires for you to be. And that's who really, whose opinion and whose thought process really matters. We have to learn, you know, when you're growing up, people's opinion sometimes matters a lot, and it affects us as children. And people that don't learn how to deal with that, they become adults that are so concerned about what people's opinions are when they're doing what God has called them to do. And we have to learn as adults to get away from that. If God said to do A, B, C, and you have people that don't understand it, don't agree with it, you can't veer off the path because he's called you to be peculiar. He's called you to stand out. He's called you to look different because there is a message in your mouth. There is a work that has to be done. And if we all look the same, if God's people look just like everybody else, when God's people begin to speak, no one's paying attention. But if God causes his people to be peculiar before they even open their mouth to speak his word, they already have the attention of the people. And so with the attention of people on you, it has nothing to do with you per se, but it has to do with the ministry and the work of the ministry that you have to complete. And in order for them to hear you, they got to be looking at you. They got to be having their eyes watching you. And they're only going to watch you if you appear different, if you seem different, if you talk different, if you walk different, if you don't do what everybody else is doing, if you don't laugh at the nasty office jokes, if you don't steal the office supplies, if you don't walk in late and talk about the boss. Okay, now they start to pay attention to you because you're not doing what everybody else is doing. You're doing something totally different. And when you get their attention, it's not for you to flaunt yourself, but it is for you to display Jesus.
Amen, amen. I want to take another look at that, the definition of common once again. As we look at that and see what the Lord is showing, amen, because he says here, the first definition for that is, he says, belonging to or shaped by two or more people or groups. Now, this is very important. Now, catch this. He says, belonging to or shaped by two. Now, here is, we're talking about being part of the kingdom of God than being part of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we shouldn't be getting shaped by the world and shaped by God. There's confusion going on. And many times we're trying to serve God and be faithful to God, but then at the same time on the sly, when we are among the world, we try to conform to the world too. And we're not called to conform to the world. Listen, we're not called to conform to the world, but we're called to reform the world. When we are called to reform the world as the body of Christ, we're here to reform. We're called to reform the world. We're called to reshape the world as it is in heaven. But as far as the way things are done, the way the mindset, that we come to set the standard and set things apart. We're called to reform the world, change the world, turn the world upside down from what they used to and change it to the heaven on earth. This is what we're called to do. So to be common and be shaped by the world, that's the popular thing to do. That's the thing that everyone else doing. But to be kingdom-minded and kingdom-effective, we are called to reform the world, reshape the world after the image of God to be set apart by the image of God. So we can't be molded by the world and to be molded by the shape by God at the same time. There's a confusion going on. So we have to make up our mind which way we stand and follow through and be who God has called us to be. So as he said here, amen, about being shaped by he's about two or more people or groups. So we have to make sure we come into alignment with what he is called to do. He says also, done by many people. How many people have a hand on how we think? How many people have a hand on our opinion or what we do? See, we're being common, we're being influenced by what everyone else wants us to do. But God should be the one who lead that. That should be the one who have that say-so for saying to our lives, the one who we model after, the one whose approval that matters the most. You know, it's okay to hear other people, but really when we look at it, we should never begin to receive advice and do advice that goes against God's word in our life. Because the word of God should have the final authority in our life. The word of God should be the base and the final authority in what we do. So for us to give ear to other people and not just hear what they say, but then we begin to apply their word over God's word, now we're becoming common to the people on earth. We're becoming like them. We're easily influenced by them. And that's not the way God has called us to be. He's called us to be peculiar. In other words, when God's called us to be peculiar, that means we're uncontrollable. We're not usual nor normal. So you're not just like everyone else. You're not well. You're somewhat ill. See, the world says we're not well. We're somewhat ill. We have a virus because we're not. We don't have the same thing that they have. See, here, all of a sudden, we're different. So all of a sudden, when you come around, everyone begin to frown or act up because you bring the presence of God with you. So you come and changing the atmosphere, changing the temperature of the water because you come around with the presence of God. But when you find yourself being common, you lose his presence. The presence of his change that used to be on you that caused atmosphere to turn, well, you become just like them. They adjust to you real quickly. Or they don't even have to move because you're just like them. You're trying to get approval of them. So that comes with a compromise, and you find yourself doing what they do. So now you become just like them. I remember with Superman, I forgot what it was, Superman, I think it was Superman 3, that I remember years ago, where he lost his, but he surrendered his powers to become a common man because he was in love with Lois Lane. Well, he realized that being common was not the best thing for him to do when you were born super. And so when we become born again, and now we're walking as a born-again believer, now, here it is, we see that being who we are is affecting the world. Now, sometimes we tend to try to back off because people are looking at us funny. Because when we come around, different things happen. Different things are affected by that. And so now we try to become common and back off. And so, well, I'm going to go ahead and not be so I know I'm just, maybe I'll try to look like them or be like them. Maybe I'll be accepted. That won't be as feels or funny. Well, no, and that's the wrong thing to do. Now we've been starting to conform to their ways and their likeness, which we were not created to do. So, amen. Anyone desire to call in and have questions tonight or question or prayer request tonight, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen.
Praise God. One of the things that we question is, okay, am I really a peculiar person? I don't feel peculiar. I don't see, it doesn't seem like I'm peculiar or nobody really listens to me. But the Word of God confirms that when we are born again, we are peculiar people. 2 Corinthians, if we can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if we look at verse 17, it says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. And that's the NIV version of that scripture. The King James version of that scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So God has, when you've accepted Jesus into your life, everything and anything that was old within you, that was of the sinful nature, is gone. He's created you a new person, a peculiar person. You don't have to feel peculiar. You don't have to look peculiar. You are peculiar because the scriptures tell us that we are, and we believe the Word of God. And so God has made you a new creature. He's made you a new person. And when he made you that new person, absolutely everything that is needed for you to become what he's called you to become is within you. It takes you developing it, you growing it. For example, a newborn baby, you know, everything usually in the natural just mimics the spiritual realm. A newborn baby is born with everything that they could possibly need to be an adult. A baby girl has the eggs, has the ovaries, has the everything within her to grow up to be a female that can produce children. But it's all in that baby. The only thing that has to happen to that child is that they grow and develop even their muscles. Baby boys have the muscle mass of a grown man just stored within them, but it has to be developed. So it's the same thing spiritually. Everything that God has called you to be, that he wants you to be, everything he wants you to do is inside of you, but it has to be developed. That baby boy has to work out, has to run, has to eat right, has to sleep properly for their muscles and their bones and everything to grow and develop properly so they can grow up to be strong adult men. In the spiritual realm, if God has called you to be a minister, if he's called you to the ministry of help, whatever he's called you to do, when you say you surrender all and you give your heart to God, immediately within you, God has placed everything that needs to be there for you to do that ministry. But it takes you spending time with the Lord, spending time in prayer, spending time reading his word, studying his word, getting to know him, getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, getting to know him enough for him to be able to trust and share his gifting and ministry with you. Everything within you is there. It just needs to be developed. And so you being a peculiar person is already there, but it needs to be developed. He said he has created you a new creature. Old things have passed away. That sinful life, that sinful nature, that anything that's associated with, that's not connected to the Lord, God has already put it inside of you And all you have to do is develop it. All you have to do is develop it and do what God has called you to do by studying and praying and being in His Word and getting to know Him even more so that there is a trust built between you and the Lord. And so being a new creature in Him has already created you to be a peculiar person.
Amen. So truly, He has set you apart from the beginning. Matter of fact, speaking on that note, Jeremiah chapter 1 tells us about that. Amen. And I'm going to turn there real quick. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, excuse me. Jeremiah says, says, the word of the Lord, verse 4, the word of the Lord which came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. Well, so we focus on the part of the thing. He says, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. That means He set you apart. You were set apart from the beginning before you even came out of your mother's womb. The reason we're focusing on that part right there, He set you apart. So you were made and set up different from the start. You were made not to be conformed or not to conform with others or to be shaped or patterned after others. You were made that way. And so that's why it's a great travesty or tragedy when we find ourselves trying to be like everyone else. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So you have a desire to be, you see, when you're not comfortable in your own skin, we set ourselves up for fail. Amen. So now we find, you know, we're trying to be like everyone else and not being who God has called us to be. So now we're here, we're telling God, look, I'm not happy how you made me. I got a problem with this. So I like the way you make him, so I'm going to be like him. Let me handle this, God. I'm going to do what I want to do. So that's a problem here because now you try to compare yourself, and that's not wise. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, now let's I'm going to start verse 10 to kind of to show this here. It says, For this letter say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, speech contemptible. Now here it is, we see Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian church, and here it is, he's saying how y'all were talking about, oh, yes, his words are heavy, his words are hard, but then if you look at his body image. So this is where people tend to mess up at, because you don't look like, quote-unquote, a king. You may not look like, quote-unquote, a bodybuilder is ready to rip someone apart. See, we underestimate each other sometimes in the body of Christ because we look at our outer appearance when God knows our heart. A lot of times we put ourselves in trouble with God because we keep getting caught up on the outer appearance of men or even ourselves. We just because we don't look like who we think someone should look like, or because we don't look like someone who we think they should be, that's a problem. And we tend to miss a lot of the blessings because we go by the outer appearance. We judge, because someone may be a little talented within more than others, but you may forget, they may be a little more talented, but some of them may be more anointed to do what they do. When someone's anointed to do what they do, that means God has set them apart to specialize to do that thing and do it well. That has a kingdom effect to it. Other words, have a lasting effect that can cause lives to be changed. A talented person, they're good entertainment, but not quite, they won't be as effective as someone's anointed, when someone's been anointed by God to do something, that means this is their purpose, and not only that is their purpose, but God has given the extra stuff that caused the change to really happen, to really take them to another place in God. Not only another place in God, but take you to a place you've never been before. The effects of someone who's anointed will cause something to happen that you've never seen happen before, because it ministers to them as well as it even meets them wherever they are, maybe physically or whatever, too. It touched their soul. They really touch their soul and really go deeper than just the surface. Amen. So here we see that word in action. So he says, verse 11, let such one think this, that such as we are in the word by letters, when we are absent, such will be also indeed when we're present. So, you know, you just hopefully you're saying too, you're trying to approach this with the letter now, but wait till I get there present with you. Even though I may not be physically the way you may think, but that don't take it. Don't worry. The purpose of God is going to be done in my life. So see, that's why we can't go about our appearance of someone or something, but we have to know when God has set some things in motion, God has put it in motion, God is doing it, it's going to get done. It's going to get done correctly. It's going to get done because God has destined for it to be done. We're always reminded of David. When they went there, they were looking for someone of a stature, not as David. They were looking for someone to be built, diesel, or, you know, got arms big as two arms put together. I mean, looking like someone who will rip someone apart. They were looking for someone who looked like a Goliath. You know, not necessarily a person like David. David was not all muscled up, but he was a handsome young man, but he was in there amongst the sheep. So just because he didn't fit their description, he wasn't even considered. And many times in the body of Christ, in the church, we tend to do this to each other because people don't fit our description. We don't even give them a chance. How many times have you been disqualified for something because someone didn't consider you because you were like someone else? And really, you had the answer to the problem. But because of your outer appearance, you was overlooked and disqualified. And they suffered unnecessarily because now the problem they had got worse because they had the answer with them and they overlooked the answer. It was in you. And so now, and that's why we have to be careful not to do this to other people as well. See, understand, each person in the body of Christ has a purpose. We are fitly joined together for a purpose and reason. That's why we ought to have this understanding well in the body, because we understand we all were made differently. Some people were made to do some things that some people couldn't do. And so when we understand our purpose, let's say all of us are uniquely used in our own purpose, that's why we need to have a better heart towards one another. We can't go around disrespecting one another because we don't look or sound the way we do, or they don't sound like the sound that we do, and we should be overlooking them just because they're different. And sometimes it's going to take that person that's different to bring a different result. It's going to take that person that's different to cause something to happen the way it needs to happen. We understand this is what makes us different, because this is what makes the world go wrong, because we are different. If we all were made the same, if we all looked the same, this would be a boring world, because this would be a world with nothing but robots all look alike and act alike. God never called us to be looking like and be like the world. He called us and set us apart to be different. We are the ecclesia. We are the church. We are the called out ones. We were called out to be different. He ordained from the beginning that we were called out to be different. Never was called in to be the same. Because if that's the case, he could just say, well, everybody come. No, we were ecclesia. We are called out. We were called out of the world to come into the church, to set the difference, to make the difference in the world. So, amen. So just on that thought, you know, he set us apart. Verse 13, I mean 12. For we do not compare, we do not make ourselves of the number, nor compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So we can't keep comparing ourselves with each other and expect the good results. It's not going to happen. We have been peculiar. We've been made differently. Each one of us have made life certain things. You may be strong in faith. I may be strong in miracles. You may be strong in the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, whatever the case may be. God may use me stronger than Aaron, use me more. That does not make me more anointed than you are or a little less anointed, because we all have our areas, folks. We all have our areas where we may be better than other people. But as far as in flowing and as far as in being you, but doesn't make you a better human being than I am. But no, because you have your area and I have mine. And you may not see my area in the church, but you see it in the world, as far as in the workplace, the marketplace, see, as is the spiritual and the five ascension gifts, we are not only called to operate in the church, but we're also called to operate and rule and reign even in the world, in the marketplace. That's what we call marketplace prophets. So someone, you would be called to work in a marketplace and have effect in the world, the marketplace in the world. So your expertise, the area of expertise, may not be stronger in the apostolic inside the church, but maybe outside the church in the work world where you've been dominant, you've been doing your thing. And that's why it's okay. We got to understand what we're called to, our sphere of operation. You know, we talk about the different spheres of operations. We have to be ready for that and be mindful about that. So God is going to call us all to be all piled up in the church, trying to fight over position. We should not be the church jockeying for position and trying to outshine one another. Anyone need to call in the number 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. So we should not be in the church fighting over position because somebody would outshine somebody. It's enough work we all can do, and we don't have to try to outshine nobody. Just shine. Just be Jesus in the earth. That's all to it. Sometimes we make it so complicated. But, amen, that's all that we're called to do. Amen. Just be Jesus in the earth. Just let him have his way. Amen.
People don't seem to understand that you are a peculiar person for a purpose. There is accountability that you have to God. There are people that God has already designated that you're to speak to, and they're only going to speak to you because you have red hair. Why I have red hair, God? Why am I the only black person in my arena with red hair? Because there was a person that he knew would only hear your voice about salvation, and because you have red hair. They will not even listen to anybody else. For whatever reason, that's how they're built. And so you're a peculiar person for a reason. There are people that have been placed in Hollywood that are in the body of Christ, and they are going to be the only people that can reach certain people in Hollywood because they're peculiar in a certain way that those people will hear them. So God has made you unique for accountability. There is an accountability that you have, and you owe God. You know, the Bible tells us that we've been bought with a price, and you can't ever really repay that price. But you can do everything he absolutely asks you to do and be fully obedient to him in order to say thank you, God, for making such a sacrifice that I have eternal life. And so with that accountability, there's also favor. There, you know, it's not one-sided. God is not like that. He's not like, you know, behind us with a whip and a chain saying, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, and then there's nothing for you. God is a very fair God. He's always fair. And so not only is there's an accountability on your part being peculiar, there is something that God requires you to do. There's some obedience that you have to do. There are people that you're supposed to speak to that's been designated for you to speak to. There's the places that God has ordained for you to go. There's a place he needs you to be seen and the word of God heard from your mouth. But then there's also the favor of God that comes upon us, the blessings of the Lord, grace and mercy. Because although he's created us to be peculiar people, we are not perfect beings. we're striving for perfection. And so even in those times when we're in error and we don't do what we're supposed to do, the grace and the favor of God are with us. And God protects us and he keeps us. And he makes sure that our bodies are healed. And he makes sure that we have provision. And if you really look at, you know, your life and the things that happen, you go in your life at this very moment, at this very hour, do you have a need? Most of us can say no, not at this very hour. I mean, you know, I'm okay at this very moment. I'm not in any way, I don't have a need right now. You might say, well, I don't have a car, but do you need, are you in a position at this moment where you're in a need for a car? Maybe in the morning, maybe you need a car to get to work, or God, there you need a ride. You may not necessarily need a car, you need a ride to get to and from work. But most of the time, if you ask in this moment, do I have a need? Is there something that I absolutely need that I have to have? Probably about 95% of the time, you can say, at this very moment, no, I don't have a need. I'm not hungry. At this very moment, I have shelter. At this very moment, my body is feeling fine. At this very moment, you know, I'm satisfied with where I am at this very moment. And I think if we ask ourselves that more often, we will realize more often that God provides for us and he takes care of us and he loves us so much. So there is a benefit in being a peculiar person in Christ. Just as there is an accountability and a responsibility, there are benefits and favors and grace and mercy all wrapped up into one where God is truly taking care of us. So he's called us out to be peculiar people, but he also makes sure that we're good, that we're doing fine. And so it's important for us to just recognize where you are, where you should be, and what you should be doing as a peculiar child of God. You're peculiar for a reason. You're different where you are on your job for a reason. You're different at school for a reason. There are people that he's called for you to speak to. You know, when you get that feeling or that witness in your spirit that you need to mention something or say something about God or say something about the healing power of the Lord to someone and you don't move on it, you just denied why you're peculiar. You just disobeyed God, although he's made you peculiar for a reason. I gave this testimony, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was speaking, and I was telling them about this lady on my job that needed prayer. And I'm standing there right in front of her, to make a long story short, and I'm hearing the Holy Spirit tell me to pray for this lady. And I'm coming up with all kinds of excuses about why I can't do it. Oh, someone's going to come walk around the corner and blah, 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 and this and that. And the Lord is like, I'm battling, you know, trying to get away from what the Lord is telling me to do. And while I'm battling, everything she's saying is confirming more of why I should do what the Lord is telling me to do. And so finally, you know, with me, at some point, I'll just be like, okay, I'm just do it. You know, just do it. And I pray for this lady in the middle of the hall. No one ever comes around the corner, because that was the first thing. She doesn't find me strange or unusual in a sense of why I did what I did. She was happy that I did it. She was blessed that I prayed for her. And we recently had a Christmas party in which my husband said we could bring our spouses, and my husband was there. And she comes up to my husband and she says, you know, she told me thank you, but we never talked about it again. And she comes up to my husband and she says, you know, your wife was so sweet to me one day. I just really needed something, and she just blessed me, and she was just really, you know, just really sweet, and I really appreciate that. And she's going on and on. And my husband is just kind of smiling and saying, yeah. And I told him about the experience. When she walked off, I said, that's the lady that I prayed for. And he, you know, he understood then more why she was saying what she was saying. But we don't know, as peculiar people, the impact that one act of kindness or obedience to whatever the Lord is telling us to do, no matter how funny it feels, no matter how funny we look, we don't really know the impact that it can actually have on an individual until we've done what God has said to do. your one-time work has saved somebody's life. It didn't feel right. You felt it was in the wrong setting. It didn't seem like the right thing to do. Maybe you thought you should have did it at a later time, but God tugged on your spirit to do it then, and you just don't know what could have happened as a result of you not doing it. And there are countless times that men and women of God have said that they wish they had done what God has said to do, because if they didn't, no matter how strange or peculiar they felt along with looking, if they had done what God had said to do, they felt that the end result would have been different. And so as a peculiar people, that accountability is very great, because whatever God is telling you to do, it could actually save that person's life. You could be potentially pulling someone out of hell for eternal damnation. You could be pulling someone out of hell for one thing that God is telling you to do. Although you feel, look, and everything else strange because you're peculiar, it's important to hold up to that accountability that God's called us to.
Amen. Amen. Truly, the Lord has called to be uncommon. Amen. And that's why, you know, guess what? Don't call me common. I'm not common. I'm not just like everyone else. I am not a cookie, not a part of the cookie-cutter process. I am made different, uniquely made by God. I'm a beautiful, wonderfully made by the hands of God. You know, He made us with purpose, a greater purpose than just to look like someone else. And we thank God for that. Let's go back to our foundational scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But we, us, are a chosen generation. He took time. There's many options. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. You've been chosen. I've been chosen because many have had the call to come. But how many actually accepted the call and made it through? Some people did, some people didn't. A royal priesthood. You are royalty to God. You are royal and you are a priest from the priesthood. In other words, you are the king's king. Well, you are king of the kings. You're one of the kings because Jesus is the king of Lord the Lords. He's our elder brother. So we share in that. We are kings and lords of the earth, as well as your royal priesthood. Amen. You're a priest. You're part of the priesthood. This is why we all have to. We have the ability to pray. The veil in the temple is ripped from top to bottom. So now you have access to His presence. So we're not like everyone else. We don't need a priest to go in to pray for us. We can go to the throne room ourselves. Boldly go to the throne of grace to receive help in the time of trouble. He's a holy nation. A nation that has been set apart, who's been sanctified, prepared, who's been said this call righteous or reverenced by God, or set apart for God for His own sake. We are His people who's been set apart. We are people who function in the presence of God or function in His. His presence, His anointing on us, and we can function in life and help affect the lives of other people as well. So he goes on to say, a peculiar people, once again, someone who set apart is different, that you should show forth the praises of Him. You should show forth His praises. By our life living, the way we carry ourselves, people should be being. We should be, you know, praising God, and people should be praising God because of who we are showing forth to them, of how us introducing you, letting people see Jesus through our life. This is why that we should not be the biggest complainers in the house. As the people of God, we should not be the biggest complainers in the house. We should be the examples of the house. Wherever we go, wherever we work, we should be the forerunners when it comes to being optimist, you know, we should be the forerunners. We should be ones who a good example, who set a good example to follow when it comes to honesty and integrity. when it comes to treating our brothers and sisters with love. Well, and even loving those who are not, but actually even showing for love, the love of Christ to everyone. Now, in the midst of showing the love to everyone, that doesn't mean we conform or condone sin. You know, as far as we should not be in agreement with sin, because just to so-called love them. No, we love them, but we hate the sin. It's the same way God does. He loved the person, but he hates sin. Amen. So we go further. And he says, show all the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called us out of the darkness and brought us into the marvelous light. He brought us out of being common to uncommon. My God, he loved us just that much to change our status for real, for life. He changed the status. So no longer, don't call yourself common. Don't let people call you common by acting like everyone else, conforming to the world's image and the world ways. Be uncommon. Anyone have a question or prayer request? The number 345-347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the queue box. So amen. So as we see this word coming for our lives, let's not be common. Let's not be like everyone else. Let's not do what everyone else is doing. But let us uncommon, to be set apart, to be different, not like everyone else, not trying to be conformed, not being formed by two different people. If you will be in the presence of God, we will guide the form us and shape us, then we are letting the world try to shape us as well. We have not been called to conform to this world, but we have been called to transform transform, change this world. Amen. So, amen. So as we continue to see the change happen in our lives, let us be the examples God has called us to be. Let's go forth. Amen. Let's go forth and do that. And also, the other world's name is reform. Excuse me. We also call us to reform this world. Reshape the way things have been done, and this is my kingdom living. As we change our living, make sure that we are bringing forth the kingdom of God mindset. Now we can reshape and reform and transform the way the world has been doing things. It's now to bring the kingdom of God here on earth and let it be displayed. So, Father, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for your presence, your power, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all that you said and you've done and how you move by your presence tonight. Thank you for the word that has touched every heart that needs to touch tonight. Cause and provoke us to change and to go in another direction, God, the direction that you have led and are leading us to go to. So thank you for the impact tonight, that we should live a life that's pleasing before you. And we thank you. We surrender all to you, Lord God. And we thank you that you call us to triumph. As we stand in our place, Lord God, with you, let us do what's pleasing in your sight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the honor and glory. For your son Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If this is someone right now who does not know the Lord and Savior, is Jesus Christ, amen, we want to invite you to follow us in this prayer. Father, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for not accepting your son Jesus as Lord in my life. Forgive me for my rebellion. I receive now your word, and I choose to change, and I allow you to change my heart. I come into alignment with your word and agreement, and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior in my life. I thank you for change now that comes from you. I surrender everything right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anyone who had gone astray, Lord, forgive me for going astray. Forgive me for going to my ways and not yours. Thank you for bringing me back into alignment with your word and your very purpose in my life. I choose now to follow you, to go forth, do what you call me to do. In Jesus' name, I surrender all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So once again, thank the Lord for each and every one. Once again, tonight I'm Apostle Marcus Freeman. As was promised, Lady Freeman, it's good to have her back on set with me tonight. Amen. It's been a little while, but we thank the Lord for her and for what she's about to do. And amen. We just thank the Lord for even for doing this week. Amen. This week here, thank God for even for making it to another Christmas. God bless you all. May have you have a Merry Christmas and have a safe one with you and your loved ones. Amen. Don't forget Christ. It's a major heart. It's a heart of Christmas. Amen. So don't forget the real reason why we celebrate the season. So amen. We'll see you again on next week. And thank God for each and every one. Have an awesome week and to the weekend. And continue to love the Lord with all your heart. God bless you all. Amen.
My soul. is alive.